Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast, where we take a good article and make it gooder.
All right, we are going to get into the obit maybe of the last 10 years. We like the obits here on the Smarticle Podcast. We're going to talk about one, Orenthal James Simpson. Yes. So we definitely need 5 seconds of silence before we get into OJ. Brought to you by the Smarticle Podcast. Okay, we haven't done a good obit in a while, Brandon.
No, we have not. I'm trying to think of the last. I was just sitting here thinking, oh, this is the last obit we did. I can't remember.
Might have been from the Pogues, that dude from the Pogues.
Oh, yeah, maybe Shane McGowan. I think maybe it was. It's been a while. We do like our obits on here. And we're talking about this from the perspective of two dudes who lived through this time period. So this will be fun. Let's do this.
All right. The reason I really wanted to do this is because on our other program, on the family of networks on Smarticle Obits, I did a little bit of research on OJ, and I was like, his story is the quintessential American story. Let me do like a 40-second recap, and then we'll get into OJ. OJ, I don't know if you know this, Brandon, was born in San Francisco in the 40s.
Yes.
He had rickets. He wore leg braces as a child.
Really?
His father left the family of five when he was four. They lived in the projects. Ely. He's running around in San Francisco, joins a gang, not doing so well. He has a chance meeting with Willie Mays and turns his life around.
Incredible. The Say Hey Kid?
Hey Kid. He runs into Willie Mays. Willie's like, hey, man, you're going the wrong way. He changes his life. He goes on to play football at City College, as then USC, wins the Heisman Trophy, then the NFL. Was the first player to rush for 2,000 yards in the NFL. He broke barriers as a pitchman, first for Hertz. Then he became a sideline reporter, an actor. He was in the Naked Gun movies.
Yeah.
All of that, but he's probably best known for, in theory, murdering his wife, ex-wife, however you want to
allegedly
call her, Nicole.
Allegedly.
And her friend, Ronald Goldman. He was not convicted in a criminal case, but he was civilly convicted. He repeatedly said he did not murder his wife, Brandon, but wrote a book entitled If I Did It, giving a hypothetical account of how he would have done it. Oge did eventually go to jail in 2007 for 9 years. I don't even remember that, for kidnapping and armed robbery related to sports memorabilia. OJ's life.
And no one else would have gone to prison for that long if it wasn't OJ.
Okay, we can get into that.
I've read about it.
So OJ's life is this. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, it's America's life. There's questions of justice, race, celebrity, hard work, marriage, jealousy, divorce. It is all wrapped up. America is OJ's life. I don't even know where you'd want to start when you talk about OJ, other than when we grew up, OJ was a good guy. Everybody else now thinks of OJ as a bad guy.
Yeah, this is an interesting one because I actually, because of OJ's death and because we were going to do this show, sent it to me, I was like, I went back and looked at that ESPN documentary.
Oh my gosh.
It was called, like,
that's the best documentary
June 17th, 1994.
That documentary is incredible.
About all the things that were going on in that day, which I was like, oh, I'd forgotten all about that. So it was
incredible.
Pretty incredible about, I remember when the white Bronco chase happened, I did not know that was happening until someone said, hey, dude, do you see the thing on OJ? I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, we were in Tahoe. We'd gone up there to, I don't know, go up there for the weekend or something.
And I went to the freeway to watch. As a kid in Southern California, I went, as like a 20-year-old kid, I went to the freeway to see the Bronco.
You're kidding.
Pass. No.
Really?
Yes.
Did you see it pass?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no, I didn't realize any of that had happened until after it was done. All these people came up, and I had been in a car with somebody. So we just weren't paying attention to it. And all of a sudden we got there and we heard the news. I remember vividly where I was when I heard the news, but I never saw any of it live. The whole time period, that early 1990s up into the mid 90s, was so fraught. Remember, it was on the heels of the Rodney King incident, which is why I remember sitting in, we stopped work at the company I was with to watch the verdict read of OJ. And I think there's probably a lot of people that did that. I remember the day they read the verdict and people freaking out because you were either, there was no way around this. You were either 100% on OJ's side or 100% against
it. If you were white, you were against it.
Right.
If you were black, you're for it.
Correct. And I think that in light of 30 years separation from this, I think that most black people would probably say, yeah, OJ probably did it. But here's the reason why they felt so strongly because so many black men and women, but yes. specifically black men, had been had gotten unfair yes. trials and
yes.
had been unfairly imprisoned, that they were like, you know what? We don't care this time.
Yep.
You're not taking OJ from us.
And by the way, think about how many white people have so much money to get the best lawyers and get off all the time. Black people are getting convicted. White people are not.
He was the perfect example of, he got the very best lawyers. They out-lawyered that prosecution
oh my
team had
gosh.
No chance against these guys. They ran.
You remember Mark Furman, that detective?
Yes.
They pull him up on stand and said, have you ever used the N-word? Never used it. Never even.
Nope.
Promise. Are you sure? You've never used the N-word. The next day, they have him recorded using the N-word.
Yes. Not just the N-word, but like really racist use of the N-word.
The two detectives that go to OJ, to go to Nicole Simpson's, the night of the murder, they go there. For some reason, they then take OJ back to the police. They get his blood. They like, I don't know why, they collect blood from OJ. They take that blood to the scene of the crime.
Yeah.
And so they're saying, like, is there any other way that OJ's blood could be at the scene? And they're like, well, because there's just so many instances of the,
yeah.
of everybody being completely incompetent.
It was crazy. And I think that what a lot of people don't remember that aren't old enough to remember is that was the days of the Rampart Division in Los Angeles, which was just
dirty,
rife with dirt, with
dirty.
Corruption and racism. And this was also the heyday of Southern California gangs. So the Bloods and the Crips. So there was so much around this that had really nothing to do with this murder. And what people always say, and I agree with this, is they always say, hey, don't forget that Nicole Brown Simpson was murdered, and
yes.
so was Ronald, by someone. So we oftentimes get caught up into all the minutia around it or all the big stuff around it, but we forget that two people were savagely murdered in this backyard.
Yes, but so everything we said is true. But he does not come off well after this whole thing. It's
Ooh.
A book about how he would kill her. He never has any remorse. And so,
well, there's that 5-part documentary on OJ, Made in America, which if you haven't watched it or listened to, it's amazing because it really talks about how OJ basically, it was ironic that in many ways, OJ turned his back on the black community. He says, I'm not black, I'm OJ.
Yeah.
That's a quote. And they talk about that in the documentary
yeah.
that my point is he was an incredibly complex character.
Yes.
And his whole life was complex. It was exactly what you said. We have this hero worship. Most people don't remember he's the first running back in the NFL to break 2,000 yards. And by the way, he broke 2,000 yards on a crappy team.
Yep.
So he played for a horrible team. He ended his career. I vividly remember him playing for the Niners. He ended his career.
Yeah.
I think he came in 78 to the
yeah.
Niners before they got Super Joe and all that. But it was a big deal, man.
He just had the American story. He was born in the projects. He had rickets. He couldn't, he is a self-made man. He made it out of the ghetto. His mom was single, raised him. He has this incredible life. He gets fame. You're right. He turns his blood, but he's like a pitchman.
Even why he went to prison later on, which a lot of people probably don't know why he went. What most people don't remember is that OJ had busted into a hotel room where they were selling. He said they were selling his memorabilia wrong, but it was about money. He literally held him, went in there with guns and blah, blah. Look, I've read about this and heard about this. Probably no one else goes to jail, but OJ, this was payback for a judge who thought he had done it. So they sent him to jail for 9 years.
But OJ, as you remember, he's civilly found guilty and he owes $33 million that he never actually ever paid to the Goldman family.
They're fighting that they're suing the estate right now.
But they were saying they basically suffocated him, that he could never make money. All he had was his NFL pension. He could never have a lot of money. So you go, why would someone go after sports memorabilia? Because he really didn't have a lot of money at the end.
Well, at the end of the day, he was doing the sports memorabilia because he could do it on the shady. Because every penny he made was basically taken away from him because he lost that civil case. And until he paid it, he couldn't make any money anywhere. So it was just, man, what a complicated dude.
I know. And if you don't take 5 steps back, you just go OJ's guilty. He murdered his wife. He's a horrible person. But it just reflecting on this, how complicated and why, by the way, that's life. America is really complicated.
Yeah. I think you could take that if you're not Ron Goldman's family. There's always that part of it where
true.
It's always true. But I'm like, hey, man, if that had been my son or my brother or whatever, I would never have forgiven OJ. So I get it. I get why people still hold that against him.
Like, he wasn't even Nicole's lover. He was just a random friend.
He was a random dude.
Who happened to be there the night OJ went to kill his wife. And so OJ kills.
Well, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah. So that's the irony of all this, is that most people, especially white people, think that OJ did it and got away with it. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. There's so many things from that trial that are just like Johnny Cochran and Hero.
Freaking Kato Kaelin.
Yeah, all the terrible judge they made a mockery of on Saturday Night Live, the dancing Itos. It just went on and on. And I think that another thing that most, again, I referenced that in the beginning when we talked about the Rodney King thing. For those of you that are a little bit younger or maybe didn't live on the West Coast, is that there was a real fear, again, that if OJ is convicted, the riots would even be worse than the Rodney King riots. The Rodney King riots were frightening. They were bad, dude. They were burning down L.A. And I think that there was a real, as much as people wanted OJ convicted, they also didn't want to have riots. So there was a little bit of a sigh of relief when he didn't get convicted.
Yeah. So I would just say, I would wrap like this. It's confusing. Like, just, I know, OJ, you probably get these feelings. I know what my in-laws would say. I would never. I lived it. I was there.
I'm shocked what your in-laws would say.
But it's just, life is just so gray in there if you take a look at the story.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to say you taught me something today, Larry, but more, you reminded me of something, an era in our history that is complicated to say the least.